This is The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'm going to be your host for the special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring you interviews with filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their projects made, as well as insight into the respective art itself. For this episode, I am talking to the director of the new film, The Yellowbirds, available on demand and in select theaters on June 15th. Yellowbirds stars Alden Ehrenreich and Ty Sheridan as Brandon Bartle and Daniel Murphy, two young men whose bond is strengthened by their tour overseas in Iraq. But as often happens in war, tragedy strikes, and we then watch as Bartle leads us to the pieces of a looming mystery as to what exactly happened overseas. The film also stars Jennifer Aniston and Toni Collette. I honestly did not know what to expect with Yellowbirds, other than it's based on a novel by Iraq veteran Kevin Powers that I have not read. It was an interesting way to take a war film because typically when something that happens revolving around war, you kind of know the entire structure, especially with two men. You have them going through basic training, you have some dynamic that happens, and then you have whatever the resolution is. This is a different kind of film. I found it to be a very deeply affecting film about war, PTSD, grief, brotherhood, and I would definitely recommend it. It's much more of a mystery than it is a typical war film. So you know that something happened. You don't know why it happened or what exactly happened. So the film is taking you through the recollections and the memories of Bartle as he puts together for both himself and the audience exactly what happened and why it happened overseas. And it's a really interesting way to do it, and I really, really enjoyed the film. So I'm definitely recommending The Yellowbirds. It's got a very strong cast, but Alden Ehrenreich and Sheridan Tralee, they carry you through the harder moments of the film with a very emotional, resonant performances. And I will specifically point out Alden Ehrenreich because when I saw Han Solo, you don't get, and I talk about it in the interview, he's kind of like this cocksure, jovial character. He's playing Han Solo. This is a completely different role for him, and he handles it with skill and ease. In fact, this performance made me appreciate him far more than the big budget Han Solo did because he has more to work with and he actually plays a lot of variants. And Ty Sheridan is an actor I've admired for many, many years. So definitely recommending the film. I really, really enjoyed it. And for this interview, I'm speaking with director Alex Moores about getting his film made, how he ended up with such a stellar cast full of actors from such recent films as Han Solo, Ready Player One, Hereditary, and why this story was an important one for him to tell. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Be sure to catch The Yellowbirds on demand or in select theaters beginning June 15th. And now here's my interview with director Alex Moores. Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Where are you at today?
I'm in New York.
New York. Doing the press tour.
Oh, no. I'm on my balcony. I live in New York.
Well, that's how you should do a press tour then.
Exactly.
I always start with the same question. When did you know you wanted to be involved in filmmaking? Was there a specific moment for you?
I think, from the earliest age, I feel like I started making little film with my, I think that's actually funny enough. The first film I made was with Star Wars action figure. So I guess that, the circle loops around. But I think as young as 9 or 10, I was already making stories and I knew that in some way, shape or form, this was what I wanted to do.
That took me a second. I totally didn't even put the two together. Well played.
Yeah.
The Yellowbirds is adapted from the novel by Iraq veteran Kevin Powers, and it was adapted by David Lowery and your Blue Caprice partner, RFI Porto. Were there any significant changes from the book to the screen? Because honestly, I haven't read the book.
Well, we try to stay close to the spirit, of the book. I think what the particularity of this book and what makes it not only a great book, but also a new film about war was that it was something that was very lyrical and mm-hmm. poetic. It's not so much about fact and grand dramatic plans and missions and whatnot. It was really a subjective, kind of dreamlike, introspective journey into the fog of war. The spirit of that we try to retain and keep throughout the version of the script. Obviously, when we made the screenplays, we had to bring more narrative and drama to the story, as most of the book is very much like an internal monologue. Mm-hmm. It's a poetic account of Kevin Powers' musing about his fears and feelings and apprehension and free association thoughts. I think one of the tasks was to kind of keep that quality, but frame it in a narrative more suited to the film format.
What I really enjoyed about the movie is it separates itself from other military films. It kind of comes across as more of a mystery than just another war drama. I mean, it's a very character-based piece, but it's also a mystery. You're trying to find out exactly how everything fits together. Was that difficult to capture that spirit and make it so that people would be just engrossed until the very end?
Yeah, no, I think exactly, like, one of the things that appealed to me about this project was that it opened the realm of what, you know, you could do with a war film. And it seemed like in recent years, all the war films were very monochromatic and were always about kind of like true hero stories and ended up, you know, being very, trying to push an agenda for a particular audience. And All of a sudden here comes a story where we could take some liberty and talk about a very serious subject as war and the enlistment of young people, but approach it from a more lyrical or from a mystery, an enigma that you have to decipher. And at the same time, you're trying to decipher what's happening within the story. You also question, you know, the larger purpose of war itself. And I think that was quite unique and refreshing.
And it strikes me as it would be very difficult because you have a very non-linear storytelling scope at play here. You're not telling the story very straightforward in many respects.
Absolutely. But at the same time, it created a lot of challenge, and we played around quite a bit in the editing room to write the right balance. But at the same time, as the film subject touched upon PTSDs and the painful memories and confusion that the soldier can bring home with them, it proved to be actually a great format to communicate those feelings, that to have non-linear flashbacks, to kind of question the order of events and wonder if, you know, what happened first, and that confusion ultimately become a part of the film and what the film's about.
And you already alluded to it earlier, but you have Han Solo here. You have the new Han Solo in your film. Did you know that going in? I mean, was he already cast at that point? Because that's a huge get, I would
guess. No. We shot over 2 years ago, so they were far from having put the project together, I think, at that time. I knew that he was definitely an outstanding actor that was going to go places.
Yeah, what I found was interesting was I actually saw Solo right before this one, before I screened your film. And watching your movie...
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good film. I think his performance in your film, it exhibited more of what he was capable of doing. So seeing your movie after Solo made me really excited for whatever Solo does, because I think they could do a lot more with that character. His take on Bardo was brutally honest. I just thought that was riveting.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's an incredibly dedicated actor. I must say I've never worked with someone that is so, you know, dedicated to his craft and takes things so, you know, so seriously. And there's very little he cares about besides, you know, just acting and delivering the best performance he can. So from a director's point of view, he's your dream actor, you know.
I mean, speaking of your cast, I want to rattle off these names real quick. You have Jennifer Aniston, Jack Huston, Toni Collette, Ty Sheridan, and of course Han Solo. So, and Aniston, I think, is an executive producer. How did the movie come together with that cast? That's a pretty stellar cast.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to really have all these, you know, amazingly talented people joining in, but they all came about at different stage and through different means. I think it's the nature of, you know, of casting. You know, Ty Sheridan was involved in the project from day one. He met several times with Kevin Powers, and he was very much carrying the film on his shoulder and helping it make it. Jennifer Aniston had a long relationship with Cinelu, the producer, having done Cake with them, so. She came and on board through them. Another producer, Jeffrey Sharp, had a relationship with Toni Collette. So they all, you know, come about from various places. And, you know, when all those stars align, then you're ready to go.
for you as a director? I mean, you're still, this is your second feature, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Is that more nerve-wracking, or does that relieve the pressure a little bit?
No, I think what was new to me was actually what I discovered is that when you have multiple, you know, A actors on set at the same time, it's quite a dance to you know, give your attention to, you know, all of them and in an equal manner and make sure it's like juggling with several balls in the air. You know, you're basically, because you're speaking to with a different voice and each actor needs to be handled and wants this person a different kind of interaction with you. So you're breaking yourself into multiple personality to suit each one, you know, and I found that, you know, it was quite a gymnastic coming out of Blue Caprice where I had like one main star I could focus my entire attention on.
Mm-hmm. And did you put them, especially Ty and Alden, did you put them through any kind of boot camp to prepare for the war?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. We had this veteran Marine, Dale Dye, who's a very, very famous military consultant, you know, having worked on films such as Platoon and whatnot. He's been around forever, and he has like very specific techniques, and he took all those boys in the mountains for many days prior to shooting, and you know, they have to sleep in the outdoor and practice tactical ambush and all those sort of things, which is like such a wonderful way for a director, because it makes our work so much easier, because when they come back from the mountain, they really form a strong bond already, and they work as a unit.
Now, did you personally go through that at all?
No, you're not invited. that's the whole, you know, that's the whole idea. Yeah, it's when Dale Dye takes them, like it's they're not making a movie. Like he's really framing that as military operation. And they go there with their weapon and whatnot, and it's not about the movie then. He's teaching them how to be soldiers.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Now, do you, as a director, do you give instruction as to, here, focus on this, focus on that, because it's going to be a piece of the film later on, or anything along those lines, or it's up to the military?
Yes, just technical things. I mean, as you know, like I know, like Alden is going to be driving the Humvee, so he needs to, you know, get practice on that, or that character, he's the machine gunner, so he will focus on that weapon and things of the sort, yes.
What about for you specifically? How involved were you with, say, the U.S. military in prep for the film at all, or no?
Oh, no, not at all. We went to shoot in Morocco, mm-hmm. and for many reasons, one being that it's, you know, the setting, and it's a beautiful place to, and it was the right place to shoot this film. But also, I believe that if you make a film with the cooperation of the U.S. Army, then they have a look at your script, and our script will have definitely not pass their censorship, basically. So there will be no scenario in which the U.S. military would have helped us.
So what was Morocco like for filming? Because you're basically setting it up to look like Iraq, and I mean, Morocco is a beautiful country.
Yeah. No, Morocco was a dream, because they have a long history of making film over there, and you know, people on my crew, you know, made movies since the 80s with Bertolucci and whatnot. They have like huge studios and a long tradition. On top of that, the government is really encouraging foreign production to come and shoot. So in terms of the military, we had the support of, you know, all their military, and they lended us, you know, heavy equipment and helicopters and some of their the extra soldiers were real Moroccan, you know, infantry and whatnot.
Tell me why this particular story was so important for you to tell. Why is this the one you chose to be your follow-up to Blue Caprice?
It made sense because it kind of continued this conversation that I started with Blue Caprice, which is one of my, you know, my obsession, which is trying to understand and talk about this kind of love story that America has with violence and trying to understand the mechanism in which, you know, that leads people to embrace violence and being taught violence by their elders and whatnot. So I think from that aspect, Yellow Bird is really like a continuation of Blue Caprice. You know, it's almost the other side of that coin. If the young Malvo didn't learn to be a killer, perhaps, and actually there's a scene in Blue Caprice where the young Malvo tried to enlist in the army. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that Yellow Bird is what, you know, what would have happened to him if he went there in that direction. So there's a lineage between the two movies. And then also, as I explained earlier, I think it was very important to also finally offer a view of the war that was less one-sided, that kind of shows the reality of the toll it takes on the, you know, the young recruits. And also, obviously, you know, questions the reason and basically the status quo of this, the perpetual war in which, you know, America seems to have been embracing. It always struck me that basically, you know, the war in Afghanistan, for instance, you know, has been, you know, going on for, you know, 18 years now. So it means that for the young soldier who enlists nowadays to go fight, you know, in Afghanistan or abroad or overseas, they actually were not even born when the kind of decisive incident took place, the September 11. So it's really something that's not even in their reality. It becomes part of the kind of the fabric of this society. It's something that is beyond question, because basically those young kids were born in a country that was in war and is still in war. And I don't know if anybody even, you know, exactly know why we're there or what are we doing at this point.
My personal favorite moments in the film is when you have one particular character, which I don't want to spoil. He goes through PTSD while he's actually in combat, and it happens several times. And that is something that's not really represented much in film. So I do appreciate that you guys made sure to focus on that. That was an important aspect.
No, exactly. And you know, I could tell from also all the screening we had, you know, in Sundance and whatnot, that servicemen, you know, would come up to us and were thankful to see this aspect of what they're going through that is really often not represented or talked about.
It's not so easy as just going into war and then just walking out. There's a lot of trauma involved.
Exactly.
I do want a final question, really, as we wrap this up. This has been, you premiered at Sundance about a year and a half ago, and you're finally getting this out to the public. What's that like for you? I mean, that's got to be cathartic.
Oh, yeah, I'm very thrilled that it's coming out and really looking forward to people to finally get to see the film. And actually what happened is after Sundance, I went back in the editing room and made quite a few changes and made the film shorter, among other things, and a little bit closer to the book. We were talking about that earlier. So it's a new version, and I'm very excited for fresh eyes to watch it.
It's a good film. It is. It really is.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. What is next for you? What are you going to do after this?
Oh, I have, you know, I have several projects at various stage. You know, one thing that I learned is like, yeah, movie making is an animal that moves at a slow pace. So it's always good to have, you know, multiple irons in the fire. Mm-hmm. And so there's quite a few things in the pipelines.
Well, I look forward to what you have next. Thanks so much for coming by, and best of luck on the release.
Thanks for reaching out.
Anytime.
All right. Cheers. Bye.
There you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. Once again, that was The Yellow Birds, available on June 15th on demand and in select theaters. Be sure to check it out. It's an interesting war film, and I really appreciated how they portrayed PTSD, especially in combat, because that is something that does happen, and it's not often addressed in film. And thanks again to Alex for stopping by. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We try to bring you interviews of filmmakers in the world of independent cinema whenever we can, so I hope you really enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our NOMO show has a new episode every single week and is available at those places, as well as thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater, or sit comfortably on your couch and watch The Yellow Birds, buy popcorn.